Good morning, friends, and welcome to the Gospel of Grace broadcast. We are thankful to have the opportunity to bring to you, after 30 years of broadcasting, the reassuring message of God's free and sovereign grace. This broadcast is sponsored by the McClenny Primitive Baptist Church. You can receive additional information about this ministry and the doctrines of grace at www.mcclennypbc.com or by calling 904-259-7806. Pray as we go forward together this morning into God's Word. Please stay tuned for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to the Gospel of Grace broadcast. It's a sweet privilege to be with you today, and we trust that as we spend our time together around the pages of an open Bible, that you'll pray for us and pray that everything that we say on this broadcast would be to the glory of the great name of our God. We begin with those words each Sunday morning because our aim, our goal in this broadcast never changes. It is only the glory of the name of our great God. That will always be, if we accomplish that purpose, glorifying our God, that will also always be to the strengthening of His people, which we are also passionate about. God's glory first, and the strength and the consolation of His dear people. Today, God being our helper, we want to go with you to the inspired Word of God. We're not going with you. We're not going to go to myths and folklores and legends of men, the cunningly devised fables of men, but we're going to speak to you, God being our helper, if the Lord will assist, from the tried and true Word of God. Now, we're going to speak with the Lord's help from the first chapter of the book of Revelation. And these are the words of our Lord as He speaks to John. You'll notice what He says in verse 8. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. And then verse 11, John says that he heard a great voice as of a trumpet when he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And in verse 11, he said, the voice said, I'm Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book. The Lord will also describe Himself as the Alpha and the Omega one other time in the book of Revelation. Fully three times that the Lord will say that I am Alpha and Omega. Now let me say this. The Word of God, though it may seem like a very large volume to you, it's really a very small book after all, easily broken up and dissected into 66 smaller books. But all of those books together, compared to the content that it is dealing with, and that is God, it's a very small volume after all. So that with that limited amount of print that God has left on record for us about who He is and what He's doing, whenever the Lord begins to repeat Himself in that limited amount of information that He's left us, which makes it all the more precious, when the Lord begins to repeat Himself, we ought to pay careful attention to His repetition. Three times He repeats it. He states this in the book of Revelation. I'm Alpha and Omega. I'm Alpha and Omega. I'm Alpha and Omega. Now let me say this. This book is full of angels and demons, and lions, and lambs, and horses, and dragons, and long-legged beasties, and things that go bump in the night. And it causes the symbols that are used here, the imagery that is used in the book of Revelation, often unsettle some people, and they find it very concerning. But let me say this. We need this book. We need the book of Revelation today. No matter your view of it right now, there may be some of those images that are very concerning to you. But we need this book, just like the original readers of this book needed this book. The reason is found in verse 9. John said, I am your brother. As he writes in Revelation chapter 1 to the church, he tells the church, I'm your brother and companion in tribulation in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. Yes, the church that John was writing to at the end of his public ministry was a greatly persecuted church. The culture was set against the kingdom of God in this world. And we've lived long enough in the United States of America to see our popular culture turn against those things that the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ represents in this world. And so Revelation was written under inspiration of the Spirit of God for a church that was persecuted, that was standing against the rising tide of ungodliness and anti-Christian thought. There was great persecution when this book was written. At the end of the first century, the Roman Emperor Domitian, his persecution, and that's when John was writing during his reign, was worse than the persecution of even Nero, and his persecution is famous. Christians were impaled on stakes. They were fed to lions. They were burned on large fiery piles. They were just pulled apart literally by horses that were whipped on by their satanic masters. And what was the result of that? You think it'd be the subduing. Satan meant to destroy the church. But do you know what happened under persecution? The result was the growth of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? You know, it was said and written many, many years ago that the blood of the ancient Christian martyrs and persecuted became the seed of the growth of the church. But God, through John, gave the church something that enabled them to endure and to even choose to suffer for Christ's namesake. What man or woman would choose to suffer? Well, I'm telling you, the children of God who were reading this letter called today the Book of Revelation chose to suffer instead of denying their precious Lord. It's just a historical fact. They would threaten Christians to drill holes into them, into their precious bodies, and fill it full of molten lead. They did that, my friends, and Christians went through it. It was a horrible thing that they faced, and they needed something special. They needed a special word from God as they were suffering so terribly. Something, what do you send someone to strengthen their faith in those times? And that's exactly what the book of Revelation is all about. It's what God sent His suffering church. What are you facing today, my friends? Is it something as horrible as that, being fed to lions, impaled on stakes, burned on a fiery pile? I don't know of anybody experiencing that. Let me tell you this. Whatever you're facing, if this message, whatever the trial is, whatever the tribulation is in your life, if this message worked for the suffering, persecuted early New Testament church, I'm telling you, the book of Revelation and its message will work for you today, my friends. What did He give them? What was it that the early New Testament church, what was it that God in His wisdom saw that His persecuted church would need? He gave them an exalted view of the Son of God. Thank God. That's what we need to see more in our culture today. He gave him an exalted, triumphant view of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm Alpha and Omega, the Lord would say to a suffering church. I'm your beginning. I'm your ending. I am He which is and which was and which is to come. He says it again. I'm the first and I'm the last. In verse 11, the Alpha and the Omega. What could that mean to a suffering church? The first and the last, the beginning and the ending. Let me say, Alpha and Omega simply means they are symbols of communication. Alpha is the first letter the Greek alphabet, Omega being the last symbol of communication. And I'm telling you, with that, you can face anything. How can that be? Alpha and Omega, Greek letters. What does that mean to me? I'm telling you, we're going to see in the title that God gives Himself, the beginning and the ending, the Alpha and Omega, that you're going to see the greatness of a God, as the poet said, though Satan strive, your soul to ensnare, you're still the objects of his care. Though hell may rage and vent her spite, yet Christ will save his heart's delight. And as our Alpha and Omega, we're going to see that he has the ability to do that. You'll notice he said, I'm the Alpha. That is, I am the beginning. That means there's nothing before me. I'm the beginning, the Savior of the body, the Savior of the church, the head over all things to the church. Christ is the Alpha. There's nothing before him. He's the eternal God. Everything outside of God is derived. It had to be derived from something. Everything comes from something. It's debated now, and it was debated then. But let me say this. There is only one thing in this universe that is not derived. There's only one thing in this universe that doesn't have an origin. There's only one Alpha that is the beginning of all things, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Alpha, not the Beta. But the early church understood him to be the beginning, the fountain of all things. And we can't go into the fact that he's the great God today. We've had that spiritual conversation many times from John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. But let me say this. Just know this. That the early church, and let me say this, the early church theologically, probably in the first couple of centuries, maybe wasn't as strong theologically as the church is today. I think that's accurate. But just know this. Now, I'm not saying that the Word of God wasn't clear and that the doctrine of the apostles, they were. I'm telling you, the second and third generation church misunderstood some things. But let me tell you, the early church understood two things very deeply. And that is this, that God was the fountain of all things and that we should live holy lives. They knew that. Christ is the fountain. He's the origin. He's the beginning. So what does that mean to you and I? That means that we should start with Him. Our lives should begin with Him instead of beginning with us. Let me ask you, whenever you go to the Word of God, do you go to the Word of God to find you? Does your doctrine begin with you, with the works and the efforts of men? Or is Christ the Alpha of your theology? Does it begin with you? I don't go to the Word of God to find David Crawford. Because let me say this. If I go to find myself, then ultimately I'll never find myself, because anything that I have that's of any merit or worth is only to be found in Him. I must begin in Him. He's the Alpha. Unless you know who He is, you can't properly know who you are, because He's the fountain, the head of all things, and we are in Him. You have to get away from yourself to get the proper perspective. You have to see yourself as He sees you. Let me say, in the beginning, God, not self. The old philosopher Descartes said, I think, therefore I am. He was wrong. It doesn't begin with you. Descartes was trying to say that all things begin with man. Things don't begin with man. Things begin with God. You can't start with yourself and know yourself. We have to understand who God is before we can properly understand who we are. And that's the reason so many people remain so empty and hollow today. What is your alpha point? Did you begin from an eternal creator? What do you see as your beginning? Do you understand that you're from the hand of an eternal creating God? Or do you believe, like many people today, that you're just a chemical spill in the universe, that we're just some molecules that happen to randomly come together, that we're just really, as one modern scientist wrote, we're just a large germ, we're just parasite. Absolutely not, my friends. We're not an evolutionary accident. It doesn't... And let me say this, if you believe that you're just a part of the evolutionary chain, that God is not your creator, that you're not uniquely designed, if you believe that you're just an evolutionary accident, it doesn't matter how you deal with life or your problems. Just make up the answers as you go. But let me ask you this, what if there is a designer who was your beginning? You say, well, I'm in pain. I'm in pain. Listen, Christianity is not just escapism. Just laugh it off. Unless you understand who your alpha point is, you can't understand life and its problems. You have to get out of yourself to get the proper perspective. I'm a Christian minister. I'm going to point you back to God as the alpha point, that it begins with Him. And you can't get a proper perspective on what's going on in your life unless you understand that God is the author of this universe. He's the designer of this universe. He created this universe. And then things went wrong in the creation. The creation rebelled against its creator. And so there have been mutations. The whole creation is groaning and travailing together, Paul said in Romans 8, even until now, because of the foul revolt against God, by Satan and his angels, by Adam in the Garden of Eden. Things went wrong. They're not like they were whenever the Alpha of the universe initially created all things. See, you can't understand what's going on unless you understand how they began and who the beginning is. What's your Alpha? Is it Darwin and his evolution? There's not much to that, my friends. I'm the Alpha. I am the beginning. All things are flowing from Him, and then all things flow to Him. He says, not only I the Alpha, the first, but He said, I'm the Omega, the last. If He has created this universe, then it's fit to Him. It's oriented to Him. It's ultimately for Him. He's the creator. He's the designer. He's ultimately made it for His own pleasure. That's right. Of Him are all things. Through Him are all things. To Him are all things. By Him are all things. That's what Paul said. There's a house in Nebraska, and it was built and designed for a specific family. They were a very tall family. The shortest one of them was about 6'5", and it's an unusual home. If you go in it, in Nebraska, it's called the large house. The dad was about 6'10". The mother was 6'5". They had very tall children. And you seem out of place, but the house fit them. This universe fits God. It's all flowing to Him. This universe is oriented to Him. It's built for Him. It's going toward Him. It's rushing in His direction. He's the Omega. He's the end. You were built for Him as His child. He's built you and made you for His glory as His child. In creation originally, in the second creation, in regeneration. So, you fit when you serve Him as His born-again child. It's all going to Him, of Him, through Him, and to Him, Paul says in Romans 11, are all things. He is the omega point. He's the final end. He's what it's all about. He's judge and creator. Judge and just creator of this universe. So embrace that. He's the omega point. He's what it's all about. Embrace that big, big dogma, that big doctrine. If you're ever going to be satisfied in this life, I'm telling you, the Lord has made you for Himself. He should be your omega point. He should be what your life generally flows to. Have you made your life about Him? Let me ask you, as a born-again child of God, is your ministry, is your service about you, or is it about Him? We need to stop and ask ourselves that. Are we serving for His sake or for our sake? He must be the omega point. He must be the end point of our service. He must be the omega point. He must be your point. You get the point? Orient your life toward Him. Let me say there are two ways to approach your relationship with God. I'm talking to born-again children of God. God can be, you can make God your means to all of your ends, or the end to which all other matters in your life becomes the means. Is God simply a means to the ends that you want to accomplish? Think about that. Are you using Him to get to where you want and get what you want? Or are you using everything in your life and you're orienting it to Him, for Him, to Him, for His glory, because He's the omega point? That's big. The omega points of your life are the non-negotiables. They're the things that if I don't have them, then there is no point to living. What's the use of going on if I don't have that? What are your omega points? What is it in your life that if you don't have it, you just can't go forward? I've seen a lot of folks that their spouse was their omega point. I just don't want to live anymore. Their children were their omega point. And whenever they fell out of fellowship with their children, there came a breach in fellowship with their children. Their relationship with their children crumbled and fell apart, and they didn't want to go forward anymore. I've seen husbands and wives, their marriages end in divorce, and they didn't want to go forward anymore because they had oriented their lives toward that relationship. And so when the relationships dissolve, life wasn't worth it anymore. Their omega points were their relationships. I've seen people who lost their jobs and they didn't want to live anymore. I've known individuals who lost their financial means in this world and they took their lives because they had oriented their lives toward financial stability. Life wasn't worth living if they couldn't. I'm telling you, America is so lost. America is so full of so many people who spend money that they don't have to buy things that they don't need to impress people that they don't like. Their omega point is impressing other people. And if they can't do that, they just don't want to live. What is your omega point? What are the things that are non-negotiable? Let me tell you, there should only be one non-negotiable thing in our life. There should only be one thing in our life that if we don't have it, we can't make it. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, if you have Him, you have everything. As the poet said, though all around my soul give way, He then is all my strength and stay. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. He's my omega point. Most of us approach our Savior and turn to Him only as a means to get to what our real omega point is. God, I'll serve you if you'll give me this. I've counseled with folks that that's where they were in their service to the Lord. That's what Jacob said. If the Lord will bless me, if the Lord will keep me, then I'll come back to Bethel and I'll honor Him and I'll serve Him. If the Lord will do this. Well, his omega point was not God. God, if you'll give me this, then I'll serve you. It should only be, God, give me you. And everything else is just icing on the cake. We can't go toward Him just to make use of Him. We can't do that. He is the omega point. Moses initially, as he goes from a prince to being a shepherd, he thought he was serving a God. He thought he was serving God, but what he found out whenever he killed that Egyptian and buried him in his wrath, killed the Egyptian, buried him in the sand, and he expected that the children of Israel would follow him, what he really wanted when he was still down in Egypt there was to be a leader. That was his end, leadership. I'll lead these Hebrews. And he was going to use God and his people as the means to his end. But God led him for 40 years to the backside of the Midian desert and burned out of him his desire to accomplish his means. And at the burning bush, Moses confessed that he was a zero. Now God can use him. Now he can find strength in weakness. God uses weak people who come to the end of their way and don't want anything else except God. What was Jonah's agenda? Jonah's end was a political end. He wanted to see the cruel Assyrians, the children of the Jews, the Hebrew children. The Assyrians were their political foes. Jonah had a political end. When he didn't get what he wanted, his end was not to serve God. He wanted to see his political foes crushed. And when he didn't get that, he didn't want to live. No, we leave God because He becomes negotiable when we go after the other things in our life that are truly non-negotiable. Let me say this. God is the one thing we must have. He is our Alpha. He's our Omega. And if we have Him, we have everything that we need. He's the beginning and the end. He's the Alpha and the Omega, and He's everything in the middle. And if you have Him, it doesn't matter what goes wrong. If you have Jesus, He'll be a light in darkness and a strength in time of weakness. May the Lord bless you all is my prayer for Christ's sake.
As we bid you farewell today, please remember to tune in next week to this channel at the same time for the Gospel of Grace broadcast. This broadcast is sponsored by the McClenny Primitive Baptist Church. You can receive additional information about this ministry and the doctrines of grace at www.mcclennypbc.com or by calling 904-259-7806. Please pray for us. And until next week, may the Lord richly bless you all is our prayer.